ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, chapter entitled Raghuvana Converses with Jad Bharat. Text number 3. Prabhuta Biru Trinagul Magakka Hare.
In bowers.
Kathora.
Rural.
Dumb.
Ramsay.
Ramsay.
By bites.
By bites.
Masakai.
Masakai.
By mosquitoes.
By mosquitoes.
Upadrita.
Upadrita.
Disturbed.
Disturbed.
Wachit.
Wachit.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
To.
To.
But.
But.
Gandharvapuram.
Gandharvapuram.
A false palace created by the Gandharvas.
A false palace created by the Gandharvas.
Prapashyati.
Prapashyati.
Sees.
Sees.
Vachet.
Vachet.
Sometimes.
And sometimes.
Vachet.
Vachet.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Asuraya.
Asuraya.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
Purmukha.
Purmukha.
Like a meteor.
Like a meteor.
Graham.
Graham.
A fin.
A fin.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Translation. In this forest, there are dense bowers composed of thickens of bushes, grass and creepers. In these bowers, the conditioned soul is always disturbed by cruelly biting mosquitoes, envious people. Sometimes he sees an imaginary palace in the forest, and sometimes he is bewildered by seeing a fleeting fins or ghost, which appears like a meteor in the sky. Translation responsibly. In this forest.
In this forest.
There are dense bowers.
There are dense bowers.
Composed of thickets.
Composed of thickets.
Of bushes.
Of bushes.
Grasses and creepers.
Grass and creepers.
In these bowers.
In these bowers.
The conditioned soul is always disturbed.
The conditioned soul is always disturbed.
By cruelly biting mosquitoes.
By cruelly biting mosquitoes.
Envious people.
Envious people.
Sometimes he sees an imaginary palace in the forest.
Sometimes he sees an imaginary palace in the forest.
And sometimes he is bewildered by seeing fleeting fins or ghosts.
And sometimes he is bewildered by seeing fleeting fins or ghosts.
Which appears like a meteor in the sky.
Which appears like a meteor in the sky.
Purport. The material household is actually hold of fruitive activity. To earn a livelihood, one engages in different industries and trades. And sometimes one performs great sacrifice to go to heavenly planet, higher planetary systems. Apart from this, at least everyone is engaged in earning a livelihood in some profession or occupation. In these dealings, one has to meet many undesirable people, and their behaviors is compared to a biting of a mosquitoes. This creates very undesirable conditions. Even in the midst of these disturbances, one imagines that he is going to construct a grand house or lives here permanently, although he knows that he cannot. Gold is compared to a quickly fleeting fin, which appears like a meteor in the sky. It displays itself for a moment and it's gone. Generally, karmis are attracted to a gold or money, but these are compared herein as a ghost and witches. Om Jnana Tirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri
Bhagavatam Parijana Setam
Sri Radha
Krishna
He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate
Gopesha Vikatanta
Vidakanta
Namaste
Tatta Kanchan Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranami Harikye Vancha Kalpata Jugyasya
Vasindhu
Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pankam Langayate
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Audience, nice to have an audience. Just trying to gauge if we have any new people here or. So we continue to hear these wonderful teachings by Jat Bharat. Huh? Who's Jat Bharat? Any kids?
King Bharat.
King Bharat.
Older kids speaking. Right?
Yes. Our older kids speaking. Yes. Maharaj Bharat has become a Jat Bharat. Maharaj Bharat is the son of Rishabhdev, the incarnation of Lord Krishna himself. So it's a very special personality. In due course of time, he becomes a king and then he retires. When he retires, he goes to a forest and then he worships and performs his sadhana through these austerities and worshipping the Lord. During that time he becomes attached to deer, and then when he leaves the body, next life becomes a deer. Yes. Fortunately, he's able to remember that he was a king once upon a time, has become a deer. In the life of a deer, he also remembers that he had made a slight mistake. And then he takes a rebirth as Jat Bharat. Yes? Jat Bharat, from the very beginning, he was totally in meditation, in thinking, worshipping Krishna internally. Externally, he was acting as Avadhuta. What's Avadhuta? Yes, ma'am.
The glossary says it's someone who's unrecognized.
Correct. Yes.
He was not following normal norms, so-called normal norms, as from birth, performing samskaras, getting educated, going to school, and so on and so forth. Huh? So norms. He was completely oblivious to those norms. So he adopted the life of Avadhuta. Externally, he appears to be almost like a man. First. Then, even to the extent that he was neglected, rejected by the societies, by the families, and he was given a very menial service to perform,
for his basic needs like food and water and shelter. To the point that he even becomes a just caretaker of the, you know, looking after the fields and chasing away the birds. In a role of almost like, you call it, scarecrow or cross?
Scarecrow,
yeah. He was taking that role. And from there, once he was even abducted, or got hold of Dacoits, caught him. The Dacoits had a plan to do a human sacrifice. They were worshipping Kali. So they said, okay, this is a very strong personality, let's go and take him and do a human sacrifice. So they took him there, bound him, bathed him, everything, to even to ready to be chopped off. He did not protest. Instead, Kali appears from the murti form and protects him. Instead, he kills the rest of the dacoits or the tribes, tribal king. So he's saved from there. Then he is. He happens that he was given the engagement of the carrying the palanquin of King Rahugana. Rahugana was traveling to Kapilashram. They needed somebody to carry a palanquin, so he engaged. Jadbhara was engaged in his service. Then. While he was walking, what was he doing?
Trying to save the ants.
Yes, he was trying to save the ants, but he didn't want to step over the ants. So while he trying to dodge the ants, the palanquin was shaking. So it made a discomfort for the king. So he chastises Paramahansa, what are you doing? Why are you not carrying properly? I'm the king. You're a servant. You have to follow my order. So, yes, in response, yes, then knowing Jadvara, the fact that this king had a pride on his. So when the opportunity comes, this is the opportunity for Jadvara to actually really preach to a leader of the society, a king. This is a great opportunity. When the kings or anybody becomes a king, there is a greater impact. Here is the opportunity. Jadvara starts to instruct. Gives the instruction over directly. So last chapter we heard some of the instructions that was given by Jadvara to King Rahugana. The teachings were in a little higher level of getting more, starting with the Sankhya philosophy, you know, the body or the soul, and then becomes okay, what you can't. One lifetime you may be a king, next life you will be a servant, so you could be all other way around. So anyway, he started to preach to the king. Then Rahugana realizes how exalted this Jadvara was, and he falls on his feet and asks for forgiveness, and then asks Suryadasa to please teach me, please instruct me. I am your a disciple. So these are the teachings of Jadvara to Rahugana. This is the context that we are at this point. So this is the conversation between the chapter entitled Rahugana Converses with Jadvara. So so at the end, like the previous chapter, Rahugana admits that all the philosophy you are explaining to me, it seems very bit high. He is explaining again thoroughly in details. So this is how Jadwara is now going even further in more simplistic, at the same level as the king, what he could understand. So he is instructing. So this chapter, so this is the text number one. So now Jadwara is now really teaching, getting into a philosophical theory. The whole context that Jadwara is speaking on is the detachment from this material world. Hare Baba, you have come to this world, don't get attached. This world is not the best. That's the kind of context. In text 1 of this chapter, Jadwara says, "My dear King Raghugana, the living entity wanders on the path of material world, which is very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts repeated birth and death. Being captivated by the material world under the influence of three modes of material nature, Sattvaguna, Rajaguna and Tamaguna, the living entity can see only three fruits of activities under the spell of material nature." The three fruits, does anyone remember? Auspicious, inauspicious and mixed. It's like three gunas, right? Rajaguna, Tamaguna. Somebody predominantly, they may be in Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna, some could be mixed. Similarly, outcome or the fruit of this three is auspicious, inauspicious, or mixed. He thus becomes attached to a religion, economic development, sense gratification, and monistic theory of liberation, merging to a supreme. He works very hard day and night, exactly like a merchant who enters the forest to acquire some articles to sell later and for profit. However, he cannot really achieve the happiness within this material world. So the Jadwara is now a kind of giving an analogy or allegorical characters in this teaching. Similar to what we heard in Narad Muni giving the allegory of Puranjana. Similar kind of. But is now he has a character called merchant. A merchant is walking into forest. Forest is dense, thicket. And just go walking in there. What's in the forest you could be scared of? Mosquitoes, yes, one of the texts. What else? Wild animals. Tigers, lions, pythons. What are you scared of, Abhay? What's your scariest animal?
Shark.
Shark, was it? Shark is in the water. It's not in the forest. What about in the forest?
Lion.
Yes. So the character merchant is now walking in to the forest. Welcome to the forest. In text 2 it says, "O King Raghugana, in this forest and material existence, there are six very powerful plunderers." Wow. You walk into a forest, right? Yeah, no, it's already thick and dark. It's just scary, isn't it? Now, who are merchants meeting now? Six plunderers. Wow. Very graphic. Does anyone remember who six plunderers are from yesterday's class? Very good. Yes. five senses and mind. Mind is the chief leader. When the conditioned soul enters into a forest to acquire some material gain, the six blunders misguide him. Thus, the conditioned merchant does not know how to spend his money, and it is taken away by the plunderers. Like a tiger's, jackals, and other ferocious animals in the forest, they are ready to take away. Ready to take away a lamb from this custody of a protector. Wife and children enter into the heart of the merchant and plunder him so many ways. This was yesterday's verse. So today, in this forest, there are dense boughs composed of thickets and bushes, grass and creepers. In these boughs, the conditioned soul is always disturbed by the the cruelly biting mosquitoes. Who has experienced the biting mosquitoes? Yes, they're not really pleasant.
Envious.
Sorry?
Envious.
Yes. Now, this is an analogy. So, in this analogy, the mosquitoes are compared to
envious
people. Yes. I still remember in Mayapur, we stand, you have to dance, because unless you move around, if you are still sitting, mosquito, they will just land like, you know, fun. You have to say Haribol all the time. Jump up and down. It's the mosquitoes. So mosquitoes are here compared to envious people. Sometimes he sees the imaginary palace of in the forest, and sometimes he's bewildered by seeing fins. What's fins?
Fins like a demon.
Ghostly or some. Is that right?
Evil spirit or demon.
Evil spirit or demon, okay. Or a ghost. Which appears like a meteor in the sky. So this is today's context. Today that's where we are at. So the beginning of the narration of a merchant that traveling through the forest. Who is merchant? Jiva. Us. Living entity. Coming into material world and welcome to the material world is, and next, this chapter and the next chapter are pretty, it describes. So generally we see very graphical descriptions given in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is it dealing with? It's not dealing with in the level of bodily comforts. It's not dealing with that. It's dealing in the level of soul. That is what is our real identity, is as a soul. So it does not deal, you'll find the description in Srimad Bhagavatam sometimes coming to say, okay, like a wife or children is as compared to as jackals. But it's just an analogy. I mean, if you really look at it in a context of a soul level, as Prabhupada says, I think it was Malati Mataji or somebody is saying, are the women less intelligent? And Prabhupada's instant response was, if you think you are a woman, then you are less intelligent. What happens? The soul can be traveling. Either it becomes a male, someone one lifetime, next life can be female. So where is the question of somebody being, you know, being so? So Srimad Bhagavatam is primarily, the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam is to get out of this material world. Take us back to spiritual world. So therefore, this Bhagavatam gives a very graphical, sometimes it appears to be a very negative in many ways. Something is, unless it's given a very serious nature, given a factual nature, we don't take it seriously. The facts are given in a very, you know, that's what it is. So, Jadbharat explains this material world and whole teachings of his, the Kamsa, as we will hear in the subsequent verses, that is to make this king or make us detached from the material world, detached from our the sensual pleasure. Detached. So this is, so next 20 or so verses are in the same context. Then at the end of the chapter, this is now the Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. What Bhagavatam is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. So at the end of this conversation, Parikshit Maharaj requests Sukadeva Goswami. He said, "This is wonderful teachings. However, could you please elaborate further or explain these teachings of Jadbharat further? Each of these analogy what is given, please explain further." So in the context of today's verse, Sukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj in the next chapter, texts 5 and 6. So let's see what Sukadeva Goswami says. So this is the request by, it's the end of the chapter, a request by Parikshit Maharaj on the same chapter. Parikshit Maharaj said, told Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear Lord, O great devotee," says, "you are omniscient. You have very nicely described the position of the conditioned soul, who is compared with a merchant in the forest. From these instructions, the intelligent man can understand that the senses of a person in the bodily conception are like rogues and thieves in the forest. And one's wife and children are like jackals and other ferocious animals. However, it is not very easy for an unintelligent to understand the purport of this story, because it is difficult to extricate the exact meaning from the allegory. Therefore, I request your holiness to please give a direct meaning." So Sukadeva, now we'll hear, I will not go, I mean, because we will be hearing the next few 20 verses of these instructions. But Parikshit Maharaj is requesting to explain this further. So the next chapter is entitled as, what is it entitled as? Forest of Missing Material Enjoyment is one chapter 4. Forest of Enjoyment. So this is the explanation of Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj on the teachings of Jadbharat. That's his first time. So let's hear how he explains this verse to this verse by Sukadeva Goswami. So this is on the chapter 14. So, text 5. "Sometimes the conditioned soul in a household life, being attached to a material wealth and possession, is disturbed by god flies and mosquitoes." What's GAD flies? guard flies. There's something different,
it's
kind of
like
a mosquito.
It's a
mosquito.
And old word.
Okay. And sometimes locust. Is it locust? I
suppose.
Locust. No? Locust. Yes.
Like grasshoppers and the beetles.
I think recently there was a whole plague that gone through. The locusts were just eating everything on the way, and it's coming from all this South Africa, Africa, and then came into India, and it's like, oh, it was just big. Yeah, it's. Where am I? Okay, The birds of prey and rats give him trouble. Nevertheless, he still wanders down the path of material existence. Due to ignorance, he becomes lusty and engages in fruitive activities. Because his mind is absorbed in these activities, he sees the material world as a permanent, although it is a temporary, like phantasmagoria, a house in the sky. In today's verse, there's a word used. Can you make it up? It's called Gandharva. Gandharvapuram. Yes, that is now the explanation. Sukadeva Goswami is explaining what is Gandharvapuram is referring to now. It's explained. Huh? Yes, Gandharvapuram is like, you know, it's house in the sky. Does it exist? It doesn't. But you can with your mind and thought, you can create a house. You close your eyes, you can imagine. But in reality, it's not there. So this is what it's referring to. That this is our conditionment. Thinking that we're going to live permanently. And then whatever position I have is going to remain with me for permanently. But in reality, at the time of death, everything is gone. Just like Gandharvapuram.
In Mirage.
Yes. There is Jagvara's teaching, he gives that example of Mirage. It's just like that. Text 6. Sometimes in the house of the sky, Gandharvapura, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Being overly attached, he chases after objects of the senses, just like a deer chases mirage in the desert. So what is the again? It's the whole point. These teachings of if we see different teachings in Srimad Bhagavatam by different personalities, they are all coming to a similar conclusion. Don't get full attached to this world. Yes, we have to live in the world, but don't get attached. It's not a permanent place. We are taken birth, and we are surely to die. Yes, and there we go. So, yes, and these teachings, these instructions, can animal use it? Can utilize it? No? Because animal will be busy just eating, sleeping, and making and defending. And they don't have this intelligence given to them. And that intelligence is given to a human, us. That we can understand this. The other species, they don't have that ability, or they don't have that. So, Bhagavatam teaches us Latha Sudurlava Idam Bahu Sambhavante. This human form of life is Latha Bahu
Sudurlava. Labdha Sudurlava. You have obtained this body, but it's very rare. And when do we get this body? Bahu. Bahu means many. How many? Padma Puran says 8.4 million. After that, we achieve this human form. 8.4 million and 0.4 million species we have to go through and you get to rear this human form. That's a bit of a long journey, isn't it? Imagine. 3 lives for what, 100 years? 100 plus? Few hundred years? Imagine you have to stand there and just become a tree. Yes, Bahu Sambhavante. Where is in Bhagavad Gita Krishna uses the word Sambhava? Anybody remember the verse? Sambhavami? Yuge, yuge. The word is used Sambhava. What Sambhava means? I appear. Here it says, Bahu Sambhava Ante. After 8.4 million life, you will get this human form of life. Manushyam Arthadam. You become a human form, and you have this value, Artha. It's given to you. What is that Artha? Is to understand that we are not this body. Understand we are here temporarily. Understand that this place is not really a very enjoyable, comfortable place. This is what Bhagavatam is teaching us. Huh? Why is it difficult? What are the problems of this material world? Four first. Birth, old age, disease, death. Are they problems? Big problem. Mahatmaji says, big problem. Yes? Why is it a birth problem? You have to go in the womb for 9 months. Otherwise, it's not a comfortable place there. If you have to bend like here, your body is bent like an arch, like a bow, and then sitting there, and then mother is drinking alcohol or having a, you know, chili and all that. You expect that. What is it? That's what Srimad Bhagavatam explains in third canto. Kapiladeva is explaining all what is going, the birth goes through.
And mother smoking.
Yes, smoking, alcohol, chilies, hot chili. Imagine you have to be in that 9 months in that situation. Is it fun?
No.
Birth is a problem. All this, I think we all experience, isn't it? Mahatma is saying, terrible, terrible. Be prepared. All of us will have to go through this.
Yes.
It's not fun. It's not fun. Sorry?
If you are alive,
yes. Say, Mama says, even if you're lucky, if you're alive till the old age, yes. Sometimes you will live earlier. But it's not fun. Yeah. That is practically we can see. Even in the womb we may not see it, but in the body we will see it. I mean, in the old age we can see it. Right in front of the eyes. Yes? Our parents get old. Our grandfather was old. That's not fun. So birth, disease. Do we get disease? Anybody is free from disease here? Can we? No. We cannot claim that. No one can claim that. Even the billionaire cannot claim that he is free of disease. You can have a hospital in your house. You can buy all the doctors and nurses in your house, but still you cannot be free. You have wealth. You can buy, you can have, you know, hundreds of doctors.
Howard Hughes did that.
Sorry?
Was it an American Howard Hughes?
Yes.
Very
famous. Howard Hughes.
Still he died.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
So disease.
So these are the problems. Bhagavatam says these are the problems we have to get and understand and move. What are the next three problems that's common to all? Very good. We have pandits here in the audience. Adhyatmik. What's adhyatmik? You know what adhyatmik is? Yes. The suffering that has come from within your own self, which is mind, stress. Yeah. Are they not common to all? Is anybody immune to that? Are anybody free of that? No. Can anyone claim I'm free from stress in this? They have millions of dollars, big palaces. What's the most expensive car? I don't know. I'm just asking them. Lamborghini. Avay says Lamborghini is the most expensive car. Having a Lamborghini, can he be free from stress? No, Avay says no. Arya. Even Avay says no. Yeah. Totally realized. Yes. So adhyatmik. Adi? Bhautik. Right here says in Adi Bhautik. Mosquitoes. What's the word used in Sanskrit?
Masakaya.
Upadrita. Upadrita. Disturbed by the Adi Bhautik. Adi Bhautik. Klesa. It's referred to as a klesa. Klesa in Sanskrit, klesa means miseries. Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, and Adi Daivik. Wow. Coronavirus Adi Daivik? Is it? What category is coronavirus? Huh? I think Adi Daivik I would say, because it's beyond us. We can't control it. It's coming from somewhere. So, yes, cyclones, floods. We just had a big flood in Gippsland, Auckland, and Sydney, and everywhere else. Some people died. So these are common problems. Bhagavatam says, understand these problems and try to not feel, don't make yourself as a comfortable place here.
Tsunami.
Yes, tsunami is another one. So if we take these teachings, not in a negative sense, okay, why is it being, you know, put into a pointing out to women, children, this, that, or men, or whatever. It's not. As I said in the beginning, this teaching is and comes in the level of soul, not in the body level. Therefore, we should understand in the positive and take these teachings. Yes, we have come. We are in the material world. And what is the process that we can be out of? Sorry? Yes. Hari Nama Eva? Kevalam. Yes. At the end of the teaching of the whole entire Bhagavatam, what's the last verse? Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. Chant the holy name of the Lord. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam is gearing to, point to. Pointing out the problems and then pointing out the solution or process. Huh? That is. Kalo, we are the Kali Yuga. Kalo dosuni deirajan asti eko mahan guna. Mahan guna. doesn't say just guna. He gives the title Mahan. What's Mahan? The greatest. Yeah, ocean of falls in Kali Yuga. Asti eko Mahan guna. Asti. Simply by chanting, simple, very simple process for us. For us, it's not given, okay, you have to go 30,000 years and do a meditation in the forest. No, it's not. We don't have to perform Rajasri Yagyas and Aksumedi Yagyas and all that. No, it's not like that. Simple chanting the holy name. So today is also a very special day that the holy name is inaugurated by Mahaprabhu. Today is the opulence day of Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur is in the Gaudakamadas Deepika. Kavikarnapur mentions that Srivas Thakur is the incarnation of Narad Muni. In that same text, Kavi Karnapur also explains that not only Narad Muni came, and the close associate Parvata Muni also came as the Sivas's brother. So Sri Ram is the incarnation of Parvata Muni. See, all these great personalities come into Mahaprabhu's pastimes to take part in the, how auspicious it would be, to be be part of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And so even the great demigods, devotees, great personalities, they appear in Mahaprabhu's pastime to, to be in Mahaprabhu's leela. So Srivas Thakur is the incarnation of Agmani. He comes. He appeared in the place called Silet, currently situated in Bangladesh. Held originally. And there's a village called Kumarahatta or something like that. Sriyaka. Anyway, so he appeared in India. He had four brothers. Initially he was born in the region of currently Bangladesh, Silet. And then he later on moved to Navadvip. And he establishes close. So Srivas Thakur appeared about 40 years prior to Mahaprabhu. Similar timing as Advaita, they're like an acquaintance with it. Let's see, word, same time. He appeared, so 40 years prior to Mahaprabhu. And his wife is Malini, Mother Malini. And Mother Malini is also described that she was a nurse of. In Krishna Leela, she was a nurse of Mother Yashoda by the name of Ambika. And she had a very close connection with Lord Krishna and the childhood pastimes with the Mother Yashoda. Now she comes as wife of Srivas Thakur, as Malini. Now, the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Jagannath Mishra and the Srivas Thakur are very just close to each other. Even physically, you could see in Mayapur, if you go there, Srivas Angam is the house of Srivas Thakur, and the right next to it is Mahaprabhu's birthplace.
Gambira.
That's not Gambira. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace is called Yogapit. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation in Banaras, and when he came back, this is the house, the inauguration of holy name wasn't really an official sara yet. Mahaprabhu starts the chanting, initiate the chanting of the holy name in the house of Srivastangam. That is the you can call it the headquarter or the starting point or whatever you want to call it, the of the Yuga Dharma of Kali Yuga starts, begins from the house of Srivast Thakur in Srivastangam. That is the so Mahaprabhu in that he also manifests the Prakasa Leela, Mahaprakasa Leela, that the desire that devotees, whoever your worshipful deity is, Lord would manifest in that form to sort of give them darshan of somebody worshipful Narsingha, he will come in the form of Narsingha and give them darshan. Somebody is a devotee of Matsyavaraha, whatever the different incarnation or they have inclination, Lord would give them. That is Mahaprakasa Leela was also shown in the house of Srivast Thakur. That's very special. Even the at that time when the Mahaprabhu inaugurated the holy name, then it was the period was such that it was highly predominantly Karmakandic Brahmanas were smart. The Brahmanas were present. During that era is this smart period. So there was a lot of objections coming from this group of people. What is this chanting? You know, I'm supposed to be, you know, doing, performing yagya, this, that, this chanting is just sentimental, this, that. So the whole criticism was being taken place. Even to the point of, I think there was one of the Gopal Champal, that he comes and he puts all the ingredients to worship the Kali in front of Srivasa's house in order to minimize or in order to defend Srivast Thakur. The Gopal Champal puts all the ingredients in just to see, okay, and next day he calls all the public and says, look, he claims to be a Vaishnava, he claims to be chanting the holy name, but look what he's doing at night. It's making false kind of thing.
Envy.
Yes, as you said, envious people. What is it, mosquitoes are compared to? The same. Yes. So, yes, Srivast Thakur, then this personality, Gopal Champal, gets actually, as a reaction, as a leprosy. Because of offending Vaishnava. Many, many years later, Mahaprabhu meets this Gopal Champal and he asks for, Gopal Champal asks for forgiveness. Mahaprabhu says, no, you have offended the Vaishnavas. Only way you can go and get free from your offense is go to Srivast Thakur and ask for forgiveness. Similar to here, Durvasa Muni and the Amrish Maharaj, you know, Lord saying, "Now you offended the Vaishnavas, and you go and ask for forgiveness. That's the only remedy. And if you make the offense to Vaishnava, go and ask for forgiveness." Similarly. So like that, Srivast Thakur serves Mahaprabhu many, many ways. There's a whole, you know, pastimes narrated in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavatam. And even to the point, once Srivast Thakur had a son who was left. But at that time, Mahaprabhu was performing a kirtan in the Srivastava. And then there was a whole mourning, and everybody, family was mourning, but Srivastava was so careful not to disturb Mahaprabhu's kirtan. But Mahaprabhu being the only person, he knew what's happening, so he didn't want to disturb to the point of he has lost the son. His son is just dying, but he didn't want to disturb Mahaprabhu. That was the conviction of serving the Lord, not to disturb. That was the Srivast Thakur. How that's how he served the Lord in the pastimes. Huh? Of course, Mahaprabhu revives him from his death. And then, similar to what we hear from Chitraketu, his name is Harsasoka? Yeah, Harsasoka. Yes. Chitraketu's son was revived, and Harsasoka was revived, and he says, which mother and father are you? I have had so many mothers and fathers now. Similar. In this instant, the boy who gets revived by Mahaprabhu, he tells, I am the most fortunate person that Mahaprabhu himself brings me in life. I get the association of Mahaprabhu. And he asks to get the association and remain in the association of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu grants him that blessing to this complete soul. Anyway, Srivas Thakur is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivas Adi Gaura Bhagavata Vrinda. Worship Srivas Thakur in our altar as a Panchatattva. Yes, Mahapur, we don't have it in our altar, there is a picture of it. But in Mayapur, who's been to Mayapur here? Everyone. Yes, we have Srivas and Steve in the altar as a Panchatattva. Shri Srivas Thakur ki jai. Yes,
Prabhu. Thank you for the nice class. It's appropriate to ask questions.
Yes, ask. If there's a mic, maybe if people are here online, use the mic. So you don't have to be here.
So you spoke about Avadhuta and Janava being sent from about his last life, right? Now, is it important for practicing devotee to know about their last life so they can situate in this life peacefully? Because if I know what happened in last life, then I can make choices based on that. So I know where to go. I don't have to come back and make the same mistake again.
I think, in general term, that facility is not given to many. That facility is given to very special personalities, those who will actually come and teach, and there will be a role for them to play. Because if the teachings of Chand Bharata is not there, it would not be narrated in Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So they are a special personality, given a special facility. If we look, and there are, even scientifically now, they think there is some past life memories are being conducted in this, it's not, but it's very rare, right? Imagine, in general, if we are given that facility to remember our past lives, if you have to deal with what you have dealt, and just remember what you're dealing with here now, in this life. We have enemies, we have friends, we have wives, and we have children, and we're dealing with hundreds of kind of problems. And imagine you have thousands of lives that are coming into you, and you can remember all that. Where's the chance for us to really perform? Remember. Actually, it is a blessing for us not to remember the past. If you were to remember how many fights you had in the past with your spouse or your enemy, whatever it is, and what sufferings you may have gone through, you wouldn't be able to peacefully perform the sacrifice. I mean, be able to perform some service, which is a blessing in disguise that we don't have to remember. Krishna says, don't worry about it. Whatever we've done, sarva dharman paritecha mamekam saranam braja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. I will take care of what you have done in the past, but just surrender to me. With Kanti. Yeah? Then, I think, and questions, whether it's good or bad, I would put it my opinion would be it's not really how can it be good? Because you have to deal with hundreds of thousands of problems from previous life and plus this lifetime, and then where's the opportunity? Where's the chance you can think of Krishna now? I think it's better that we have forgotten. And then we are given a clean slate, start clean. Krishna says, Krishna guarantees, become my devotee, I'll take care of the past. With that conviction, if you start with a clean slate, you're better off.
Mm-hmm. on that point, I'll tell you one story. Last night I was talking to my niece. She is a professor in the Delhi University, engineer. She went out just for example, $4,000 a month in India, is a big income. And I asked her, because she had told me once that she went to a psychologist and had the regression. So she's quite sad that the psychologist told her she was male, other than she was female, she had so many births, and she was a sweeper. Female type. So as you said just now, we don't want to know, but we were. Now we have to know that we are trying
start clean slate. Yeah. And I think you're much better off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And having all those problems, plus you try to juggle this problem, see this life problem, and then try to do devotional service, figure it.
Lord Krishna has given us such a great opportunity.
Yes.
To be under shelter of Lord Shri Prabhupada.
Yeah.
To chant the Holy. Chant and thank you very much.
Thank you. Mataji has a question.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I have one question. Like from today's class, you said that Mahaprabhu had to go through initiation. Why does it happen for Mahaprabhu? Because he is himself is Krishna. And similar, I have one question about Srila Prabhupada. Like Srila Prabhupada must have suddenly realized that he had come down with so much powers. And would that have initiated his responsibilities that he started working so much towards spreading the Sankirtan?
So first part of the question is that why Mahaprabhu is is God himself, why is he taking initiation, and why is he required to take initiation? See, when these great personalities, including Krishna or Mahaprabhu or they coming, they are coming here for us to teach some lessons. Yes? They will you would see in the life of Krishna or Mahaprabhu, they enacted all the things that we normally also enact. Taking a formal initiation is one of the recommended process for Vaishnavas and devotees. So he is setting an example for us. He does not have to. He's a swarup. At Bhagavatam, the first verse, really, very beginning in the first verse, he's a swarup. He's completely independent. He does not come into with the clutches of the three modes. He's free from all that. He's beyond that. But yet, he comes and he sets the example. This is how you perform. This is what you do. This is how you perform devotional service. He inaugurated the holy name. He chanted the holy name. He danced in the holy name. He did everything just to set an example. In the whole, if you see the Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, how he did it. And he said, do it like this. It's a set example. And the second part, I think, was the Prabhupada. What was the, can you repeat that question?
Regarding Srila Prabhupada, I mean, did he at some point realize that he had come down with so many powers? Because that must have, you know, initiated the responsibilities that he took up upon later in life.
Mm-hmm. So your question is like whether Prabhupada had a memory of, because he's coming very empowered personality, he is, whether he knew that he is. Yes, in some ways, yet he is aware of that. More than that, he is actually taking the instruction of his spiritual master to the highest level. One instruction given, but that instruction is a very big responsibility, this instruction, which is to preach this message of Srimad Bhagavatam to the English speaking world, which was given in 1922. And then the rest of his life, if you read Lilamrita, the rest of the life is just meditating on that instruction to how to fulfill that. So, more than, yes, definitely he is an empowered personality. the feat has achieved is, you can see in from his life. But more than that, he's also given us example to how to actually follow carry out the order of a spiritual master to the highest level. If he knew, I would say yes, he knew that he was empowered, but yet he was not given that red carpet empowerment, red carpet facilities, as you can see from his life. So he accepted whatever the thing on his way, and he worked on that. All the challenges he went through, all so many challenges, from traveling to getting there, and as he writes in his diary, he said, "I don't know, I landed in Boston. I don't know if I have to go left or right." Imagine you just land, a 70 years old man, in a foreign land, knew nobody, off the ship.
Nobody.
No money. Where do you go? Left, right? Nothing. That is the kind of challenges he went through. Yet, this is to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. So that's for us to learn, for us to teach. Yes, definitely he's not an ordinary. Shaktya Vesha Avatar, you can give that title to Prabhupada. That he who is empowered by the Lord to do a special task is. But, yeah, having that, but the challenges he came overcome was, yes, and that's how it's.
Thank you.
Execute the order of spiritual master. Yes, execute the order of spiritual master. Any other? Quick one? Okay, thank you very much. Kantrat Shrima Bhagavatam Ki Jaya, Shiva Sankor Ki Jaya, Shri Krishna Mahaprabhu Ki Jaya, Shri Alhabadam Ki Jaya, Shri Krishna Mahaprabhu Ki Jaya, Shri Krishna Mahaprabhu Ki Jaya, Shri Krishna Mahaprabhu Ki Jaya,